Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Zoom on, but Allegron's grinding home from Fear Endless. The Cunning Fox below the 200, grabbed by Allegron. Threads his way through Ollie, and Allegron takes the lead in the khaki colours, and Allegron's going to come clear, the favourite on the ledger. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the line. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood on Thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. High Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from High Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kingswell Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her.
G'day listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. If you are a regular, thank you very much for tuning in every week. And if you are new, welcome to the show for the first time. It is the first Group 1 of the new season this week, the Group 1 Wing Stakes, and it's going to be run on a swimming pool. Heavy 10 currently, and it's still raining up there in Sydney. So it does look to clear up. We've also got the Carline Stakes at the Valley. We've got the reigning champ, which is Mornington Glory. He won the Carline, then won the Moya as well. And Oak Hill is looking to do the Benchmark 100, Carline, and Moya Stakes treble as well. Fellas, how are we doing?
Good. The Group 1 Racing's back, but like, not really, because they probably won't even run in Sydney, will they? Are they going to run?
I think it's still up in the air a little bit, but the talk is if they don't, it could go to Monday.
They'll run.
Oh, I love it when they've got racing on like a Monday. It just makes the week go like it's way sweeter.
I'd almost think about getting a flight. I've got no work on Monday. Just go off, just get up and come back, yeah. Couple beers by myself.
I'll go.
Be brilliant.
You don't even drink two consecutive drinks in a row, so that's a lie.
What me, do you mean?
You'd have a beer, then you'd have like a vodka Coke Zero or.
Oh yeah, I'm a bad mixer.
Oh, it's the worst punters. It's not even a pleasure going out for a drink with him. It's more like anxiety that you're going to have to fucking thing for Princess Kaluzi over there.
It works, and it makes the job faster.
It's severely sickening. A bit like the two bad beats I had last weekend. Fair dinkum.
Yeah.
What a world.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to speak about that. No negative vibes on this podcast. It's first Group 1 week.
What do you mean, no negative vibes? How can you be positive when you cop shit like that?
Noonday Gun is probably the sickest I've felt.
Two Down Discreet was horrific because...
Yeah, that was bad as well.
That was fucked because the photo went looked like it was going to go my way. Everyone's yapping. Yep. I have 20 people around me in the living room at the function that I was at. Oh, yeah, you got it, this, that, the rest. Boom. Slow-mo comes up, did not, in fact, get it. And then I fly back from the Gold Coast on Sunday, open my phone, and see probably the sickest beat of my entire life.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Oh.
Yep.
Got absolutely taken out at the third last, loses 12 lengths, still proceeds to pick himself up off the canvas, gets to the second last.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was 12, but he definitely would have won
if
it hadn't happened because he just would have been in front, would have been able to measure the last, wouldn't have been under pressure and wouldn't have used up all that energy. He got back up to leaderboard easily. after that interference. But anyway, let's move on from that. How's the footy going? The Baggers are up by 26.
Oh, I don't want to talk about the footy, mate.
Our midfield is dominating you, but we're just not a team. We're just not a team that converts that into goals enough.
I can't wait till next year, because Tom DeConing is going to be the most overpaid, overhyped piece of shit footballer I've ever seen.
Hey, he's not shit. Come on.
He's not worth $1.7 of Monopoly money.
He's not.
Yeah. Essendon's playing the C grade side.
Yeah.
Not even VFL side.
We don't even
They'd be lucky
left.
To make VFL crap. I'd get a game.
No, you wouldn't, champ. Come on. Let's be real.
Just relax, champ.
Shut up, mate.
Anything else been happening in your worlds? That is Will Alford and Nick McGualter. And my name is Ben Coluzzi, for those tuning in for the first time. There probably aren't many.
Nothing else much is happening. The weather was cracking today. Quiet. Yeah, good.
Oh, man. It's still pretty balmy outside.
It was a perfect day today.
Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't too cold for your footy training, otherwise you would have been running in the opposite direction.
Too hot. I sweat up like a pig.
Too hot. Ben, anyway. Give me a spell.
Don't say it. Spring's in the air.
It was a bit today.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that's the jargon out of the way. Oh, actually, one more thing. The Judmont last night, I stayed up to watch it. And it just left a real sickening taste in the mouth. They supplemented a 100-to-1 shot from France to be Ombudsman's pacemaker.
Crook.
It was about 25 lengths clear. The other jockeys, Ryan Moore, he's right on Delacroix was shit. The ride on the Japanese horse, he was leading up the field and over racing. I think he just got real culty, but still just let the horse run. And just put it on a tee for Ombudsman, who's obviously a very good horse, but it was just one of the weirder races I've ever seen. And yeah, I'm not a fan of this team riding. It just made me feel sick. The two Godolphin jockeys were like dapping each other up past the post, like, good job. We got it done. And it was just like, this is not racing. Anyway, that was my little...
Fuels my fire that it's all fixed over there. It is.
Yeah, I didn't
it's
like
fucking
it.
Also get rolled at $1.10. It's fucked. Pacemakers.
If Mini Hawk goes down in the Yorkshire Oaks, it's a field of four.
Watch.
She's $1.30 tomorrow night. Is it tonight or tomorrow night?
I've spent many a night sitting around the coffee table with mates just...
Well, this could be...
Going about our evening, and you see so many short price... You see so many short price overseas things get beat. It's not funny.
Mini Hawk tonight, $1.40. All right, let's move on to some racing. We'll get Botter involved, but your mic's a little bit low.
All right, I'll start yelling.
We need to talk up or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Mooney Valley, the rail is out 5 meters. It was in the trim position last meeting. The track played really well. It's a soft five at the moment. It's an improving soft five. I still think we'll start on a soft five. But yeah, lots of people saying because the rail is going to go out five, it's going to be really leaderish. I don't know. I would just have an open mind and think that it might actually play all right because it has come back well after the renovation. But any insights?
Yeah, I was surprised by how well the track played in the first Valley meeting back. But I do think some of that was temporary related because of how quickly some of the races were run. So I'm going to default to it being on pace on Saturday. I could be wrong. That's fine. But I think you want it back on pace horses regardless of how the track's playing at Mooney Valley anyway. So if they're going to be in front around coming around the home turn, you know, it's a pretty profitable position to be in. So, back on pace as it normally helps.
Well, no doubt you'll be back in a few back markers because you always say it's on pace and then you're back in horses with good sectionals from back in the field. So we'll find out. Race one, it's a small field. There's only six of them. Three-year-old fillies, 1,200 metres. Cherish Me, $3.60. I believe she gets a gear change. Yes. Blinkers on. First time. $3.60. Audio Popcam is $4.60. Miss Celine, $5. And Petite Artiste, $5. Who do you want to back?
I'm just not sure how Cherish Me has come back. She's favorite, but you could make a case that she's nowhere near it. in this race because she was about $3 out to $7 Betfair SP, paraded well and just was gone in the corner first up. I think you can be well against her. Blinkers go on, which might sharpen her up a bit, but gee, she's easy to take on at $3.60.
The desperation blinkers. That's what I often put.
They just about could be the desperation blinkers at start four, because she's a horse that made a really good debut, and then was in the betting from the blue diamond, but then obviously only had the one run. So she, you know, she's sparingly raced. She's obviously had her issues. But the one I want to be on is Audio Popcan, who blew up the clock at Pakenham. Went quick early, mid-race slow down, and then sprinted off it. I'd love what it did on the clock, and I think it'll settle outside lead here, and the race sets up really well for it. I'm just not sure how some of these horses have come back. This might be the new fresh horse on the scene, and $5 is a pretty good price to find out. I think she's more like a $4.40 chance, and I think she'll be well supported on the day. Ferocious Frankie is another one that's a little bit interesting, but I think it's one we can follow over further.
Great. Race two was a staying contest. No official bets here, 2,500 metres, but you got Jennifer Moose, who has replaced Bold Soul as favourite. They've done a big market flip. The Mar Runner is $2.70, Bold Soul $3.80, Flame and Romans $5, and Mukhtamil, well down in the weights, $5.50. Any thoughts at all here, Will?
Well, I wish I saw the early price for Jennifer Moose, because that would have been sensational and I would have backed it, but... No, I missed the early price and I won't be having a bet.
All right. We'll move on to race three then. This is an open handicap over 1,523 metres. Crossbow's got to carry a lot of weight with a 60 here, but it was a really good last start winner. $2.80 favourite. Exit is $3.10. Godfred Kirk is $4.60. Sabi Storm, $9.50. And Erno is $15. But this looks like a race where a couple of these horses could be destined for races like the Caulfield Guineas and the Thousand Guineas.
Is anyone betting here? Because I'm not.
Nico, are you betting here?
Yeah, I'm back in Exit. Yep. I think MZ on. Hopefully it's going to be a little bit closer this time around. And yeah, I think she just did a lot wrong at Flemington. Chopped and changed her action up the straight, on and off legs. Laid in pretty bad. I think Mark Zara on is a good jockey change. And yeah, I expect she'll be pretty hard to beat.
Yep. She would be on top for me as well. I think she gets a 3 kilo weight swing on
Crossbow. Yeah, I think Crossbow was pretty flattered last time. I'd have a fair wager that Crossbow won't have the picnic it had last time and can easily see the tables being turned.
Yeah, I don't think it was Blake Shinn's best ride. It was very negative, no. But the horse is still...
That is Shinny's kryptonite. When he gets in this mood like he was last weekend when he's not riding at his best, he just sort of...
Rides a bit arrogantly?
Yeah, just rides arrogant. Just puts him at the back, gives him too much to do, sort of rides like he's disinterested. I'm sure he's not, but that's the way that it comes across. Like, he just... Yeah. That's when he's riding at his best, he times it perfect. And I know it is a fine line between perfect and shithouse, but some of those rides when it's sort of, he's a length attached at the back, it just doesn't give you me a good taste.
Yeah, I'd have Exit on top. Godfrey Kirk was actually a really nice win last start at Sandown. Beat Old Order Mystery. I think Order Mystery will probably turn the tables on that horse once they get out to 1,600 metres, but... Nonetheless, it didn't do much wrong. Draws barrier one, crossbow draws barrier two. So they're going to want to be up near the speed or else they could be locked in a bit of traffic. Will, did you have any thoughts on this race?
I thought it was interesting that Crossbow was the one that wasn't favourite early because, you know, he beat Exit fair and square last time. But I think the prices look about right now and I couldn't back either way.
All right, we'll get to a race that is more up your alley because it's $5 the field. Race four, benchmark 78 over the Cox Plate distance of 2,040 metres. Bird Dubai, $5. Maisie, $5. John Ricciero, $6.50. Vega Magnifico, $7.50. Rise Stewart, $8. And Navy King, $8.50. What'd you like here?
I thought that Maisie was perfectly set up to run to a peak number. 1,400 metres first up, then went straight to 2,000 metres and was well supported, actually, and sort of stuck on well enough to run third behind Federer and Vega Magnifico, I think its name is. Yeah, Vega Magnifico. Third up. I've always, like, this horse made an amazing, amazing debut. And I've always sort of thought it's had a load of ability. It's only been sparingly raced. And this is the first time it's ever been gone as far as third up into a preparation. So I have a good opinion of this horse. And I think it gets a really nice run. And I think it's more like a $4.20 chance in this field. I thought Generachiro, if this was at Flemington, I'd back Generachiro as well, but not at Minivale.
Rightio. Race 5 then. Open set weights and penalties race, 1,200 metres. Aleppo Pine, first start for the Hayes team, formerly with James Cummings, and did run second to Scenic Point the last time we saw him at the races. He is the $4.60 favourite from Regal Award, $5. Estremo, $5.50. Bakash, $6.50. She'll get a really nice run on speed. And Oyster Lane is $7.50. But you were betting here?
Yeah, I'm really keen on it. I think it's probably the best bet of the day almost is Regal Award. I think that this horse was enormous on debut. It was $6 into $2.40 Betfair SP, so the market had a good opinion of it. It's well bred. I think do you remember Sovereign Award, Ben?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Sovereign Award. That's its mum.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Do you remember Sovereign Award?
That's why I asked you who Sovereign Award was. She ripped around the valley and yeah.
Jamie Carr won on her a few times.
She was pride of Jenny Light.
Yeah, she was a bold front runner who sometimes blew up and sometimes blew her opposition up.
Yeah. Yeah, this was really good on debut, and I think, again, like the fillies earlier, some of this early two-year-old form, now three-year-old obviously, the two-year-old form is a bit junk, and I don't know. The early drift on Aleppo Pine stinks. I just think Regal Award's going to lob in a perfect spot, and I think it's more like I'm going to say $3.60 chance is the price I think it should be. So probably the best bet of the day.
Awesome. Might be going in the multi that we haven't gotten in a little while then. Race 6, first leg of the quaddie is very tough. No bets officially. Any thoughts at all? It's $5 the field from Dragoon, Reset the Jazz, and last start, Rooney Valley winner, Shoeless.
Yeah, I think that Shoeless, it'd open up favorite. It's obviously not favorite anymore. I thought Dragoon was the right favorite in this race. Red Aces trialed up really well. I think it can improve as a four-year-old. It's been gelded, but not here, I wouldn't have thought. Prince Eric's really interesting, not here, but maybe if it was third up here, Jetty could almost make it favourite. And I thought the creator can drastically improve, but it's a tricky race and I probably won't be betting in the race.
Great. The day's feature at Mooney Valley is the listed Carline Stakes, 1,000 metres. Fun fact, this race used to be four-year-old plus only because of the three-year-old races on the card. So they wanted to make the three-year-olds go to the three-year-old only events, and this used to be four-year-old plus. But a couple of years ago when the Moya came forward, we changed it to three-year-old plus, and that's why Bold Bastille and other three-year-olds have been able to run it in recent years. But there's no three-year-olds here. A horse like Eschard didn't accept, so not sure if she might go straight to a Moya or another race. But Oak Hill is our $2.70 favorite from Barrack Hill, $5.50. Golden Boom has seen some good support at $6. New York Luster, $7. And last year's winner, Mornington Glory, he needs to improve off last start. He's got the top weight at $8, but he gets a drier surface.
That's an understatement.
He does get a drier surface, and he's got some fitness under the belt. Nonetheless, I think this is a two-horse race. I'm really keen on Oak Hill. I've backed him at $3.20. I think what he did first up, he's only going to improve off. He only had one jump out going into that, and he's still... If you look at his coat in that race, he still looks pretty wintry. He still looks like he's got plenty of improvement. The race worked out really well for him there. I will admit that. And you always bite your tongue a little bit because you're backing a get-back run-on sprinter over 1,000 metres at the Valley. So He does need things to pan out well for him, but I think he is easily the bet here, and I think he can be a player in the Moya. So he's well on top. Last start rating was solid enough. And I think the horse that's being disrespected in the market right now is New York Luster at $7, back to 1,000 metres. Her form at 1,000 metres, she's unbeaten 3 from 3. I thought she's been really good behind the likes of In Flight, Bridal Waltz. She gets a soft 5 track she loves. Barrier 6 should work out fine. And she's a winner around the valley before. So I think it's an easy, good bet O'Kill, and then have a smaller bet on New York Luster. Barrack Hill, 1,000 metres, first up from an injury, barrier 1, 550, take on. Golden Boom, Queensland form, he ran second in this race last year. He's got a tricky map from 7, take on. Mornington Glory, take on. Midwest, take on. By process of elimination, I think Oak Hill and New York Luster are very good bets. What do we think?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I thought that Midwest was maybe a little bit big in this race. I thought they rode it poorly last time. They just sort of sat up on it, and its asset is speed. I thought the one you could have backed early was Golden Boom, but that price is gone. And I don't like these sorts of races because they're so map dependent. It's not my go. And if you think you've got the map exactly right in this field, well, you don't, because it's up in the air. These horses have all got speed. Yeah, I mean, at the prices right now, the one I'd probably back, the two I'd probably back are Golden Boom and Midwest, but I'd have no real confidence and I'm not going to bet.
Yep. Nico?
Complete clarity. O'Kill just win again, I think. Disappointed I zigged when I should have zagged last time and went with the track and trip horse rather than the horse on the up. Yeah. Yeah, Mornington Glory needs to improve significantly to be turning the tables on Oak Hill. And yeah, I don't love the New York Luster back in trip sort of thingo. It's teased me a bit, this preparation. Obviously I've been with both times. It's got a bit of an icky feeling that Golden Boom's been a horse that I've never been able to catch.
You can argue strongly she's coming back in great. To a certain extent.
I just don't love back in trip. Like those 1,000 metre victories were against mules.
Yeah, fair enough.
Look, you might be right, but Jamie to Hairfall back in trip, it's just not ticking boxes for me. I think Oak Hill will be extremely hard to beat. I've got Knox on Barrack Hill, Golden Boom, New York Luster, Mornington Glory, etc. I'm happy to be with Oak Hill.
Yep. Right. Too easy. All right. Ducks in a line there to some degree. Race 8, 1,500 metre open handicap. Yet again, no official bets. Run, Harry, run. 550. Running by is Jewel Accepted. Still not sure if she runs here or runs in Adelaide. She's $6. Hard to cross $6. Greenfly $7. Might want it wetter. And
I don't try stakes.
Yeah.
New race to the calendar.
Is there any way you could decipher who wins here?
Potts can have a bet in this race. This is his race. It's his bread and butter.
Hard to cross is the one that you could have backed early, and I missed the price. I didn't get around to pricing it up. And it's been well supported early. It's been double figures into $6. Run Harry one runs the one that maybe you could probably back, but I'm no interest in this race at this point.
Yeah. Hard to cross is a weird one. Sometimes he maps out the back and sometimes he leads.
They're just so barrier dependent.
Yeah. Oh, it should get a good map from barrier 3 anyway.
All race
9, benchmark.
Those horses want to turn up.
84. The Dr. Sheehan plate. Another fun fact. This is actually a trophy race for a benchmark 84. There's a little plate for this
Who
race.
Who is Dr. Sheehan?
Don't know. It's a weird sponsor agreement that we've had for a while, but I think it's just a sponsor.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, they pay up. They get a trophy race. It's a benchmark 84.
Is the trophy actually a plate?
Yeah, it's a little plate, yeah.
Huge. Why a sponsor?
Stolly Bolly, $3.50. Favorite from De Bergerac, $5. Bossy Nick, $10. Pivotal 10, $11. And Red Hot Nick won the last race at Moonee Valley 2 weeks ago. He's trying to do it again at $12.
Was well supported too. It was like 34s into 11s.
Yeah.
None of mine. I've got a bet here. And no, you haven't even mentioned it. Number three, extra two. This horse has got lots of ability. If the right version of it shows up, it'll be extremely competitive. It's a good Mooney Valley horse. 2 kilos off its back, it'll be good. Drawn in a good gate to be prominent to the speed. And if it feels like wanting to be a good horse, well, $21 and $5 is pretty generous.
The old owners have dropped off. Have you
it's not that? Not in the Qatar colours anymore.
Qatar, yeah.
Qatar bloodstock.
But, yeah, you just got to go back through her form. Like, form and SPs, not fair income. She started $6.50 V's Lotties in the mare's race. You know, form behind LOU, other good horses. She's just a bit of a... She's just gone off the boil a little bit. So she can recapture some of that old form. Well, she'll be a good bet, I think.
Yep.
Don't have to have much on at those odds.
Body?
Yeah.
Body betting?
Yeah, Stoli Bolly will bring us home in the last, and I think you can chop on Red Hot Nick.
Oofed. All right, there you go. Let me just note these ones down because I wasn't planning to have a bet in these races, but
De Bergerac's not going to be a Mooney Valley horse.
No, I didn't think so either. I thought it was short enough.
That's ridiculous.
All right, I might be able to have something on extra two and Red Hot Nick at big prices. All right, let's get over to Swampwick, where it's a heavy 10, and it doesn't look like it's going to dry up at all. It's going to be so hard, isn't it? Rails True, they're just going to keep on getting off the fence as the day goes on. Nashra Willa is probably going to be giving high fives down the outside grandstand, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Race 3 is a benchmark 78, handicap over 2,400 metres, Juju Kibo, $3 from Bluestone, $4, Piggyback, $7, Wuds, $10, and Cormac T, $13. I think this is a race in 1.5, and we're getting a good price the favourite because James McDonald is on Bluestone, who is way too short at $4. This Juju Kibo could actually be a horse who gets to that next level, goes to a race like a Metropolitan. He was really good last start. He's one of the only horses who made a heap of ground on that heavy Rosehill Gardens track. So he's ticked the heavy track box, comes to 2,400 metres for the first time, but I think he's still got gears. So he's clearly the bet. $3, I think he's more than fair. I think it's slightly over the odds. And drawn out in barrier 10 with the way this track might be playing, should work out perfect. So Juju Kibo really came, one of the best of the day in Sydney. But Wuds is just a horse you need to have something small on. He's an absolute mudlark. He's got a couple of ratings over this distance. He was probably unlucky behind Casual Connection, 3 back, should have finished closer. And you just know he'll swim through the conditions. So $10 for him is it's fair enough. Race 5.
All about Juju Kibo for me.
Oh, sorry. You're betting as well?
Yeah. Yeah, looks a very progressive horse. Stepped to 2,400, no issue. Got through the wet really well last time. That's no issue. Could even be a St. Ledger horse Everest Day. Something like that. It depends how far in the trip they want to stretch him.
Mm.
The way that he's going, he's got a really good race in him. He's better than benchmark 78 grade anyway.
Yeah.
A few of these are just taking in turns.
If he can get into a Metro, that might be a race.
The only thing is he's going to be deep into preparation, but he's in the right stable.
Yeah. What comes first? The Metro or...
Metro's first.
Metro's first and then, yeah.
Right. Well... Yeah,
I think it is.
The St. Ledger's Everest Day, so.
Yeah, that's not till late-ish October, 19th or something.
Mid-October, yeah.
All right, race 5, group 3, over 2,000 metres, Salt Coats, $2.40, Nelly Lalax ran second at Mooney Valley last start, goes back to Randwick, is $5. You've got Hasty Honey, really well supported into $7.50, Belvedere Boys, $8.50, good banter, another decent wet tracker at 950, but this is all about Soul Coats. Last start rating really, really good. 95.6 on the Kenzo over 1,800 metres. Got up along the inside on a heavy 8 track. It was genuine heavy, like Form King's got it heavy 8.7, so that bodes well for this. He's 2 out of 2 unbeaten on heavy tracks. And I just think he looks the one here. Up to 2,000 metres, perfect. 56.5 kilos, perfect. Drawn out in 8, perfect. Just too many ticks and $2.40. That'll do me. Nico, are you betting?
No, not in this race.
All right. Let me just go back and quickly check what you've got so I can throw to you if you do have one. All right. Race 6 is the Silver Shadow. Group 2, 1,200 metres. Agarwood, $2.70. Savvy Halley, $4.20. And Within the Law, also $4.20. Then your way out to Memo, $11, and longer the rest. This is a really good horse, but I'm keen to hear your thoughts if you know this horse at all.
Yeah.
Agarwood for the bot team.
It's a half to Lilac.
Oh, right.
You know, Lilac, it's
yeah.
I think this is top. I've like this horse I've known for a while and might be pretty good.
Yeah. Like its debut was really, really good. It then repeated the performance up to 1,200 metres at start 2, out in trip to 1,200 metres, put down what is clearly the best rating in this race. Recent trials have both been very good. I'm finding it hard to go against it, and I think this horse could play a real part in a race like a Golden Rose if they send it there. The flight stakes should surely be on the agenda, and obviously the 1,000 guineas as well. So.
Yeah, I think she'll get... price 1,000 guineas.
Oh, do you want to go check that, Nico?
Yeah, I'll have a look.
But there's none of it anymore, but one of my subs I'm very grateful for, he messaged me a couple of hours ago and he said there's 100-1 for Agarwood in the Golden Rose. So we've taken that and we're very happy to be on. Savvy Halley's fit. Good win last start. It's hard to line up that Newcastle win. The rating
900 meters to 1,200 though.
Yeah, it's weird. Within the Law was one of the better fillies in her 2-year-old season. Only just got nosed down to Champagne, but yeah, I think Agarwood's the one. All right, let's move on to race 7. Group 3, 1,100 meters. This is the toy show quality for the fillies and mares, and this is an absolute superstar. Autumn Glow, unbeaten 4 out of 4. She's a $1.90 favorite. You could have got $2.40 on open. Manal is $6.50. Cigar Flick's got some good wet track creds, $8.50. Amina, $10. And Gangster Granny, $11. Bonita Queen is also worth mentioning. She's probably going to be our likely leader at $15. Nico?
I'm thinking that... why is my phone frozen? Fuck's sake. Autumn Glow is the horse that I'll be with if she runs. I'm not 100% sold that she will, to be honest, but if she does run, I'll be with her. She's the best horse in this race, no doubt about that. So that's all you need to know. Don't worry about any of the other horses. Just back her. She's a superstar.
Do we think she'll run? I don't think she will. If they go to Monday, maybe there's more chance of her running. If they delay it a couple of days.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't,
why would you run a Ferrari on a heavy 10?
I don't think Chris will run Autumn Glow. I don't think he'll run Via Sistina. And Fangirl won't run.
Fangirl definitely won't run.
Yeah, I can't see him kicking off Via or Autumn Glow on this track that's going to be on Saturday or Monday.
It's interesting though. They do need a run. They need a run. They need a run soon. And Sydney, there's
bring
no
doubt
it's going to be dry. Yeah, well, I guess that's an option.
Well, they should do that, and then I can bet on them.
Just wait till we get to the Winx Stakes, and you're copping a bake for something that happened 12 months ago. Autumn Glow is clearly the best horse in this race, but if she doesn't get through the conditions, if she does run, if her wheels completely spin, which isn't unknown, like she trialed really well on a heavy 9 track, but it's only a trial, it's not race pressure, then like it wouldn't absolutely shock me if a Manal or a Cigar Flick or an Amina could get her. But
what about more territories? The last start jumps off the page. Its last start rating jumps off the page at me. It's like an $18 chance. Second to Lilac and Clean Energy. No? Okay.
No.
Nothing.
Okay, well, the favourite will probably win. I hope the favourite wins by like 10 lengths.
More territories wants a bit further than 1,100.
Probably.
All right, race 8, the Group 1 Wing Stakes, 1,400 metres, wait for age. Via Sestina has been smacked. $2.40 favourite from Gringotts, $6. Fangirl, $7. Aliana, $8. Chaowulf, $11. And Robusto, $17. Bot, do you know what Gringotts is named after?
Like white people in Southern America?
No, it's named after the name of the bank in Harry Potter.
Oh, right.
Come on, mate, keep up. The map here, there isn't a whole lot of speed. The two-speed influences probably draw Barrier 11 and Barrier 12, Full Count, Felicia, and Lindemann. Lindemann is another one who does not go a yard on a heavy track, so I think he'll scratch as well. So all of a sudden, we're left with not a whole lot of speed. How do we think that'll play out early?
Lindemann, you reckon scratches?
Well, he doesn't go on a heavy 10.
Well, he was the one I was going to say as a bet.
he doesn't go on a track this wet.
Doesn't he?
No.
I thought he did. Anyway.
No, there's enough evidence to say that.
Fair enough. She's a bit short, isn't she? At 240, at like, you know, where she's going to get to. I thought that Gringotts was the one that sort of jumped off the page. Me, like, he's going to go forward here, is he not?
Yeah,
and he's gonna get like the 1-1 and get the perfect run where she's gonna be like three back the rail in like the worst spot ever. I mean, if Lindemann comes out, Gringotts could like he could lead.
Oh yeah, Tommy Berry will be licking his lips the way he rode this horse so well to win a couple times last preparation was just perfection. Got him to win a Group One, like beat Fangirl in the George Ryder, beat Chaowulf in the George Ryder. I don't think Gringotts is any superstar, but riding him forward, like he has gone to that next level. He's now a proper weight for age horse. I've backed three in this race, all in bets. I've backed Gringotts at $8. I've backed Aliana at $13. And I've backed Chaowulf at $13 as well. Gringotts probably goes on top. He's never been on a heavy track, but everything would suggest he'll get through it. His trials on a heavy have been awesome, and he's 4 from 6. On soft ground. Fangirl, you can pen her. Via Sestina is too short. Aliana is another one I've backed. Whether she comes back a little bit dour after her Derby win, who knows, but I think she's a rising superstar, and heavy track I think will suit her. And Chaowulf, he's a horse who always improves into the preparation, and he's going to map a little bit awkwardly here, probably second half of the field, but Joe reckons he's got him going a little bit better earlier in the prep compared to last year, last preparation. And first up last prep, he did start $4.80, third favorite in an Apollo. You're now getting double that price. So given the odds, I think he's worth a little play. Nico?
Yeah, I've had two bets in this race. I'm happy to take on Via Sestina first up. I'm with Gringotts and I'm with Aliana. Same as you, followed you in. Gringotts definitely the horse to beat. I think he'll be forward in the run, handles wet going. Yeah, probably a bit more intent here with him than a few others. And Aliana, she's probably just going to be in that yucky sort of spot from Barrier 2. But, excited to see where she can go this preparation. So, fingers crossed we can get a result. I doubt Fangirl will run. And, the whispers are that Via Sestina might not. So we'll wait and see.
Yeah. The only thing I wish with Aliana is if Frosty had gone up to ride her. But anyway, we'll take Collett.
Yeah. He's in Japan. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Race 9 is the Show County Group 3, 1,200 metres. The key scratching was Autumn Glow. Obviously, K-Mac was booked for this race and J-Mac for the toy show. So that was your lead. General Salute, $4. Corniche, $7. Just Feeling Lucky, $7. Lazura, speaking of J-Mac, Rides, $7.50. And Yellow Brick, $8.50. I took a price for Yellow Brick all in at $8. I haven't got value currently because he's $8.50, but we just know he's a good mudder. He ran second in the Stradbroke at the end of last preparation. And if this race does fall away with more scratchings, given the heavy surface, he's going to be one that's really well suited. He's got to carry the top weight, 60 kilos, but should have some residual from that Queensland campaign. And 1,200 metres on a heavy track should suit. So I've had a small bet on him. I could probably have something on Corniche as well, who it's only start on a heavy track, went through the roof. That was on a heavy 10 at the Sunshine Coast. Rating was solid. And it's still a good price at $7. You could have got even $9.50 yesterday. So they're the two bets for me. General Salute could easily come out and win this. He's another one who's only run on soft tracks. He's got very good form on soft tracks, but he's the default favourite. I just think Corniche and Yellow Brick are the value, $7, $8.50. You're not betting here, Nico, are you?
No.
All right. Let's go down south then to the Island of Stew, and that is Adelaide. Island of Stew. Morphville. We got the Leon McDonald States Stakes, 1,400 metre listed event, race 8, Splashback, $3.20, Running By, $6, Dubai Poet, $8, Cafe Millennium and Lingani are $9. This race really drops away after the top couple in the market. Tell us why Splashback can bounce back.
Positive jockey change, back out to 1,400 metres. Yeah, I think you can be pretty forgiving of last time. I don't think he's a 1,200 metre horse. Down the straight, anyway. 1,400 metres, Geordie back on. I think I could easily see her bouncing back to form. I think she'll be extremely hard to beat. Probably the best bet of the day for me.
Huge. Yeah, I'm keen as well. The rating 3 back was enormous. And then 2 back at Flemington, 1 from an impossible position with huge late sectionals. So a lot of plus on that. Forgive last start. Did start $2.60 favourite and an Ori Star. And you're now getting $3.20 against far more inferior horses, up to 1,400 metres, back around a bend at Morphettville, which is a... Notoriously, Morphettville is a great track for swoopers. They just edge further and further off the fence. She looks a cracking bet. Is it Geordie's only ride for the day, or has he got a couple more?
No, I think he's got a couple more.
Yeah, all right. Well, he's obviously going for...
That's the reason he's going, though.
Yeah, and she is a really good bet at $3.20. Good value. I think you can mark it closer to 240, 230. Running By is the danger, and I've had a saver on it at $6. Obviously, just missed the Zoo Sensation, who's in really good form at the moment. And we know at her best, Running By is probably the class horse of this field. So it's the saver, Splashback, keen bet. Okay. Around the grounds, anything else?
I think there's a horse that I'm going to back in the first tomorrow at Geelong that I think will be pretty hard to beat. It's number 9, Davida. Comes out of the good race at Pakenham behind Scenic Point Ondebu. Recent trials have been good. Spanos on. Looks like it'll be pretty hard to beat, I think. It's about around $4, looks a bit.
Great.
Yep. That's all I've got.
Bot, did you have anything?
No.
All right. What's in WA this week? I probably need to have more of a look at that.
Wes over there.
Yeah. I've got an international multi, actually. Two horses on the dirt. This is a little bit sick, but we know the sickos love it. Two of the best dirt horses in the world go around this week at Saratoga. I think it's Saturday night, Sunday morning. Sovereignty goes around in the Travers Stakes. He's arguably the best three-year-old in the world right now. He's arguably the best dirt horse in the world right now. He's very short odds, but you take him in a multi with Thorpedo Anna in the Personal and Signed Stakes sprinter. She's probably the best dirt sprinter in the world right now. So it's a bit of a rogue bet, this double, but it's two horses that you can put a bit of faith in and, you know, trust that they are. This isn't just any crazy old bet. These two are definitely in the top 10 horses on dirt in the world. So Sovereignty in the Travers should just win. And Torpedo Anna is around even money. Not quite as, not as good a thing as Sovereignty, but that's the multi and should get you around $3. All right. Podcast multi time.
Sounds disgusting.
Come on, you're a fan of Sovereignty, aren't you?
Well, he's a nice horse. I like watching him. Wouldn't bet on him, though.
Fair enough. Give us your best bet of the weekend.
Regular Award. Is it Regular Award?
Yep.
I think that's what it's called.
Race 5, number 10?
Yep.
Nico?
My best bet will be Splashback.
Right. Race 8, Morpheville, number 13. So yep. $5, $3.20. We've got some options here. There's a race 3 at Randwick, number 1, Juju Kibo. Or
take there. Sovereignty.
No. Coward's way out. I'm not waiting until 5 a.m. on Sunday morning. Nico, help me out. Race 3, Randwick, number 1, Juju Kibo. Or the Sprinter in the Car Line, race 7, Rennie Valley, number 5, Oak Hill.
Juju Kibo.
All right. Juju Kibo it is. Race 3, number 1, Randwick. All right. Let's get to a couple of questions before we wrap up proceedings. We'll go to Twitter first. Tiger Seth, what platforms are other podcasts on besides Spotify? I've already obviously replied to him, but you can get our podcast on our RSS feed. So just type in rss.com/racingpreviews and you'll be able to find it on there. Just type it into the Google search bar and it'll come up. Or go to the Twitter link and I'll put it in the comments. Simon causes a bit of a stare on Twitter, old Simon, but he's a good man. Has Chris Waller been training via Sestina to water ski?
To water ski.
I hope so.
You'd hope so.
She might not even be running. Nathan Dippy, now that donkey season's finished, can we remove Allegron from the intro, please and thank you?
excuse me.
I'm going to have to run that one past Will.
No.
And given NWN, Nasiah Wanganeen Malira and Sheasel have been big in the news this week. Benny, have you asked for a raise next season yet? Since uncontested touches is all the rage right now. No, I don't think I'll be asking for a raise next season. Wait, hold on. I've just got a message. Anyway, I'll check back on that later. No, I don't think I'll be asking for a raise. Lucas Greenwood, if Ray Cokie wins the last on Saturday, can Ben present the trophy? Lucas has a decent share in Ray Cokie. Unfortunately, good I won't luck. Be there on Saturday because I'll be playing football, Lucas. But I hope you win and I hope you get that plate. Will, did you give Ray Cokie any chance?
A little bit, but he's a bit inconsistent. But, right. You know, sometimes I like backing those horses, but I'd rather back Stolly Bolly.
Yeah. Roxas FC, point and shoot, Randwick Race 4, value at $5. I think 1,200 metres is probably too short for it. Roxas FC, will Autumn Glow shit it in, or do we back the field? I think just wait and see if she actually runs first. I'm not taking $1.90 for her on a heavy 10. Nico, what price? Are you happy to back her at that price?
I don't think she's going to run, so I haven't really thought about it too deeply. But
yeah. Might be a multi.
She's a multi, but I'm not going to be launching in.
Yeah. Roxas FC, good to see Nico is running in the Greyhounds at Richmond Sunday night in race 7, number 1. Someone check that. Does anyone know what it is?
No.
Someone check that. Race 7, Richmond Sunday night, number 1. You might have to go on some fields to see it because I don't know if there are any odds.
Late in winter.
Because he's always late to the podcast, I'm guessing.
Yeah, maybe he meant my number two, but I won't say that one.
No, don't say that one. Alex Young, can't wait to hear your boys' thoughts on Autumn Glow. I believe it will go through the spring undefeated.
Ben, did you follow my multi?
What multi?
I've sat here with gritted teeth because Zach's running around at half forward for the entire last quarter. He's kicked it with 2 seconds to go.
Well done. No, I didn't follow the multi.
Oh, poor Zach. You've won by 44 points.
Oh, so you needed him for 24 and he got the 24.
He got to 24.
Oh, far out.
Well, he's played it like he's played deep forward all the last quarter because his hand's fucked.
Yeah.
And he got burnt as passage before, and I put my fate in my hand because he was waxing it, just pitching it around the back. DeConning's kick missed it from 20 metres out, and he's got it last passage of play. He kicked it with 2 seconds to
go. Unbelievable. My mate had him for 25 as well, but 24 in tab, so he'll get it as well.
Yeah.
Roxas FC, race 6, number 5, Mooney Valley. These across your forehead. Race 6, number 5, Dragoon. Drag on, yeah, there you go. Play on words.
Bad math from me, too. 34, not 44.
Yeah. Ryan Patton, who would win in a six-man tag team match? Ben Colucci, Nick McGolter, Will Alford, or Nick Foote, Dave Strelaw, and Mitch Beer?
We would run laps around them. I'd just set up the good screens and you two little whippets could just dice around.
Well...
Foot would be in trouble because he couldn't blow a whistle and get a free kick.
Mate.
If you touch Nick, you'd probably get suspended for 2 weeks. So I don't know if that would go.
And we'd be have to get, we'd have to be careful what we say, otherwise we'd get even further sanctions.
All right, that's enough from you.
Beery, I'll take Beery. I'll run rings around him. Salt has got a bit of muscle. So
he's probably got a bit, he's probably got a one up on your Twitter game.
Oh, Beery, yeah. He's hard to beat.
Good gear.
Some of his takes are I don't exactly agree with him. Racing Nuff, Splashback, how far? Hopefully 2 lengths.
Hopefully just 0.2 is enough.
High in the irons. Chris DeCasta, a few.
I don't think Geordie's gonna be celebrating the listed race. As good as the time honored Leon McDonald Stakes is, I don't think Geordie's gonna be up in the irons.
So there was a maiden highweights race today, race 1 at Warrnambool, and the French jockey got up out of the saddle and gave a big punch to the sky. And
there's context to this, though, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. There is. We didn't realize at the time. Like we didn't click straight away. We just thought he was celebrating the win, and he was pointing to the sky. It's because his grandfather had passed away recently.
Yeah.
But it was just like it was a maiden highweights race. I think the
poor Luca, they would have
25th start.
They would have been coming for him on Twitter without knowing the backstory, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah, that would have been a few, but obviously the backstory makes sense.
Yeah.
A few jumps questions from Chris. Top 3 horses from the season.
Noonday Gun.
Stern.
Yeah, obviously Stern and
Highland Blaze.
Yeah, Highland Blaze.
Yeah. Mighty Spar is probably 4th.
Yeah, the Mighty Spar has become the new Castan and King. It's been a very good season. There's been plenty of highlights. There's a few quite progressive young jumpers coming through, like Mick Price and Mick Kent Jr. I think have got two sort of good hurdlers coming through.
How do we forget the Cunning Fox?
And the Cunning Fox, yeah, it's recency bias can play a lot into these things. But there's been good horses that have been throughout the whole season that you forget about because they haven't been there. But you know, I think both Australian Bloodstock Price Kent Jr. horses that we've seen in the last couple of weeks, they'll make good jumpers. There's plenty of horses that I think will improve next year that'll just have another season under their belt. But yeah, I think all in all, it's been a very good season. But yeah, it's pretty obvious. Like Highland Blaze and co. have come sort of from nowhere. Like Highland Blaze has come from just being a sort of ordinary sort of flat horse to, yeah, well, he'd have to nearly win the best jumper of the season, I would nearly say.
Yeah. Oh, no, Cunning Fox is, like, before he failed on the weekend, he was probably still number one top dog.
Still ran second. Like, Highland Blaze would have to have a case. Ran second to the Cunning Fox in the Australian hurdle. Beat Loft. Yeah. Like, just a win you have to see to be believe. And then absolutely romped in the Grand National hurdle. Like, that's a fair. And beat Cunning Fox. So they're essentially one.
Yeah. Fox excuses.
One. I know, but you've still got to take those sort of things into it.
Yeah. Where to next for Stern Idol, given he'll be given a significant weight penalty in the jumping handicaps? Probably just set weights and penalties.
He'll just go for a Briley tilt next year and then he'll just race any set weights and penalties races.
Yeah. Overall thoughts on the season? Nico says it's been a good season. Would any of our horses be worth sending over to Nakayama for a Japanese Group 1? Is that the jumps horses?
Yeah, there's a Japanese jumping Group 1. That's what Karazi has gone to and won before, the good horse that Eric Musgrove used to have. So
just quickly, Japan known for rock hard tracks. Do they still have the same guidelines as us?
It's firm. No, it's,
they have firm jumping races.
I don't think it's, well, I think it's, they sort of hint that there's a bit more give, but it'd be a four. Yeah, it's not.
That's crazy. You're asking for trouble sending horses over there. Yeah. We're not used to it.
Nah, I don't. You probably wouldn't. And it's at the wrong time of year too. Like, they would miss. They would essentially miss their campaign and season here. Because I think it's, I've looked this up before. It's in, like, March or start of April. So, there's a lot of prize money over here to even worry about that. If you were going to go overseas, you'd be going like over to Europe, where it's given the track. But
couple more from Chris. Bot, how far Vingegaard in the Vuelta?
Is this Vuelta?
The Vuelta, is this cycling?
Yeah, probably like 4 or 5 minutes.
You nerds. Do you think Kai Ying Rising can handle a very heavy 10 for the Everest? And if not, who's the saver?
Jimmy.
Should be second favourite. I think Jimmy should be second favourite. He's not. I got $11 for him the other day. I had a saver on Jimmy.
There's no dangers.
Pacemakers, how far in the bin? Yes, very far. All right, Instagram questions. Stu, I didn't pay him to say this. He says, why is Ben so handsome? You know, Stu watches racing.com and me at the gym on the treadmill.
That's so weird.
It's a little bit disturbing. Yeah. Stu, is Nico okay after noonday gun? Does he need a stupid cuddle?
Yep. I'm still not okay.
What is this? Can you please describe a stupid cuddle?
I think it turns into X-rated business afterwards.
It's just because he's such a
what
big...
What is a stupid
He's just such a big man. It's like a teddy bear hug.
Yeah, I'm sure that...
It's PG.
Russian blood.
It's PG. It's PG.
Red Stu, Rocket.
Does Will know he's batting well above his average? Don't F it up.
Yeah, what about... We didn't touch on this. That was good gear that I saw on social.
I know, he finally posted a photo with her.
Yeah. She's probably been like, why won't you hard launch me to your friends? And then boom. Good gear.
Was she happy that you posted a photo of her?
Sure. Look at him. He's getting all... He's blushing puns. He doesn't like the spotlight.
End the podcast. Jackson Kirkwood, how many scratchings will we see with the rain? Probably heaps. If this is Randwick, obviously, we're probably going to see 40 scratchings, 35. Ryan Deeth, thoughts on Noonday Gun's fall? I don't think...
We're not going over this again.
I don't think he would have fallen
if the Peyton interference didn't on the third last... shaft him.
And people were saying, "Oh, it wasn't Stern Idol's fault? Like, he shouldn't have gone to the inside." Well, Pateman.
No, you're right. It wasn't.
Races.
It wasn't Stern Idol's fault. It was Pateman's fault. Stern didn't cut him off.
The stewards gave him a suspension, so it was Pateman's fault.
I hope there wasn't sour grapes in Pateman's mouth because he used to train Noonday Gun.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be bad.
Oh, can we haven't touched on this. What's this? Just completely lay Stern Idol ever going to Ballarat. He should never step foot in the joint or breathe the Ballarat air again. He's been beaten there four times. Got beat
this
by Balex one.
The bet, this is what made it so sickening because...
Oh my God, we're going over it again.
Sorry, but Noonday Gun, it was one of the great bets. Like I was on Racing Pulse on Friday with Falgate. I said, this horse is going to open north of $3. He's the bet. Stern Idol, he's failed in this race twice. They flipped in the market. Stern Idol started $3.80. Noonday Gun started $1.70. And what transpired, I was with Liv. I don't think I talked for the next 2 hours.
I was completely flat. I went mute.
Yeah. It was the sickest beat I've had all year.
I was like a real life walking do not disturb.
Yeah. Coops Irwin, a pacemaker is good or bad for racing?
Bad.
I think they're bad. Like team riding pacemakers, like these get off and it just shits me. Like Pride of Jenny's different. She's going out there. She's trying to win her own race. She's not going out there leading.
She's not a pacemaker. That's her racing pattern.
Yeah. And that's, people are getting confused online. Twitter's, you know, cesspit, et cetera. Coops Irwin, most obscure group one that you're keen for this spring? That's a good one.
Most obscure. I don't think it's really obscure, but I always like the Western Australian group ones at the back end of spring.
Yep. I'll give you two obscure group ones that I'm keen for that people probably won't say. The Underwood and the Might and Power. Because the big guns aren't going there, and I'm convinced that I'm going to be able to find overs on the winners of those races.
I'm keen to see what the spring looks like with the Rupert Clark back in its traditional spot and the CF Orr. I feel like the back end of spring is going to be really good because you've got a lot of options for those type of horses. Like you're going to have the CF Orr, which is obviously Wait for Age Group 1. You're going to have the Supernova and the other race at Pakenham and Cranbourne. They're essentially...
The Meteorite.
They're essentially going to be like good group races. So there's going to be plenty of options. There's going to be good horses that are saved for the back end of spring. And it's just good to have good racing continued all the way through
really
to
like,
Christmas.
I like the CFR at the end of the spring. The only bad thing about it is... You've got Champions Day. You've got a 1,200-meter group on that day and a 1,600-meter group on that day. So you might be taking away from that pool to some degree. They're probably not going to be the absolute A-graders. They're probably going to be more that B-plus sort of horse a week later. But I like the change. The CF4 1,400-meter group on Wait for Age at the end of the spring is sort of like the Group 1 all-age stakes at the end of the Sydney autumn. It's sort of the same. 1,400-meter apples for apples. I like it. Imagine if a horse like Jimmy Starr stayed up and ended up going to a CFR. Like, it'd just be max bet.
A lot of horses are going to be have... It's just going to be very interesting to see how they come out of the Everest and co, because they're going to have their hearts broken into a million pieces. Some horses are going to come through it and some horses are going to be broken.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up there. Punters and crew... hopefully we back some winners. We've only just gone over an hour and we'll see you back here next week for Memsy Stakes Day, where we will have a special guest on the podcast, but we'll keep that under double wraps until then. Good luck.
Yeah, well.